From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo said Manado Bitung Toll Road to create new point of economic growth. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs ensures the protections of 138 Indonesian citizens in Ukraine. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news. President Joko Widodo has said that the completion of the 39.8 kilometers Manado-Bitung toll road construction would create new points of economic growth in North Sulawesi. He hopes that this development creates new points of economic growth. He also expects economic growth in North Sulawesi to exceed national economic growth, because in 2021, North Sulawesi's economic growth exceeded Indonesia's national economic growth. When inaugurating the Manado-Bitung toll road for the Dano-Wudu-Bitung section in Bitung, North Sulawesi on Friday, as reported by Antara, he said that with the completion of the construction of the Manado-Bitung toll road, the travel time from Manado to Bitung will be reduced to only 30 to 35 minutes from the previous 1.5 to 2 hours. The Indonesian government, through the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, keeps on monitoring the presence and safety of Indonesian citizens in Ukraine after the assaults of the Russian military. Director of Protections of Indonesian Citizens at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Yudha Nugraha, in an interview with Voice of Indonesia on Friday, explained that 138 Indonesian citizens in Ukraine are in good condition and they are not directly affected. However, the government, through the Indonesian Embassy in Kiev, the capital of Ukraine, continuously makes efforts to ensure the safety of Indonesian citizens who are in many cities in the country. Yudha Nugraha also stated the Indonesian Embassy in Kiev is currently a safer place for Indonesian citizens than other regions in Ukraine. Therefore, it can become a shelter point for all Indonesian citizens. None was directly affected. That means being victims of the Russian military attack. But the Indonesian Embassy in Kiev has asked Indonesian citizens to immediately gather at the Indonesian Embassy as a relatively safe location if compared to other places. So, for Indonesian citizens who have difficulty reaching the Indonesian Embassy, they can contact the hotline of the Indonesian Embassy in Kiev. And for those at several points, such as in Odessa, which is relatively far from Kiev capital, they can still stay there until the embassy officials pick them up. Moreover, Yudha Nugraha also remarked that apart from the option of picking up the Indonesian citizen from many regions in Ukraine to the Indonesian embassies in Kiev, the Indonesian government is also preparing an option to take them out of the country, namely to the Indonesian embassy in Poland. Even if the situation is very urgent, the government will repatriate all Indonesian citizens in Ukraine to bring them back home, Indonesia. Chairwoman of the House of Representatives at Commission 1, Mutia Hafid, has urged the Ministry for Foreign Affairs to prepare an evacuation plan for Indonesian citizens in Ukraine in the event the crisis in the country worsened. She also urged the Embassy of Indonesia in Kiev and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to prepare a contingency plan with the Indonesian Embassy in other cities such as Warsaw, Bratislava, Bucharest, and Moscow, to provide protection for Indonesian citizens there. In a statement on Friday, as quoted by Antara, she noted that the safety of Indonesians is the most important aspect. Therefore, the ministry needs to monitor the situation in Ukraine. Hafid emphasized that the Indonesian government must prioritize the safety of Indonesians in Ukraine. Indonesia is building a National Biodiversity Center as a scientific center for research and collaboration on biodiversity in the fields of biology, including microbiology. The development of these facilities and infrastructure is intended to build a modern and complete national center for biological diversity in Indonesia. This was affirmed by Acting Deputy for Human Resources, Science and Technology of National Research and Innovation Agency, BRIN, Edi Giri Rahman Putra, in a statement on Friday, as quoted by Antara. Giri also noted that the National Biodiversity Center will be open for collaborative research activities at the national and international levels. Thereby, BRIN invites all relevant stakeholders to collaborate in increasing research and innovations in the field of biodiversity. Let's move it on to the international news. The Russian and Ukrainian governments on Friday signaled an openness to negotiation, even as authorities in Kyiv urged citizens to help defend the capital from advancing Russian forces in the worst European security crisis in decades. As reported by Reuters.com, Ukraine and Russia will consult in coming hours on a time and place for talks. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky spokesman Sergei Nikiforov said on social media, offering the first glimmer of hope for diplomacy since the invasion began. The Kremlin said earlier it offered to meet in the Belarusian capital Minsk after Ukraine expressed a willingness to discuss declaring itself a neutral country, but that Ukraine had proposed Warsaw as the venue. That, according to Russian spokesman Dmitry Peskov, resulted in a pause in contact. Australia seeks to join others in imposing direct sanctions on Russian President Vladimir Putin and has extended its punitive financial measures to members of Russia's parliament and more oligarchs. It was stated by Australian Foreign Minister Maurice Payne on Saturday, as reported by Reuters.com. The United States, Canada, European Union and Britain said they would impose sanctions on Putin and Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, as Washington looks to ramp up pressures on Moscow following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. It is an exceptional step to sanction leaders, but this is an exceptional situation, Payne said at a press conference, adding that the government is seeking advice on how to follow other nations in the move. Singapore and Vietnam have agreed on the importance of closer cooperation to help both sides recover together and emerge stronger from the COVID-19 pandemic, the country said in a joint statement on Friday, as reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com. The statement comes during Vietnam President Nguyen Xuan Phoc's three-day trip to Singapore, the first state visit Singapore has received since the start of the pandemic in 2020. President Phoc's visit also comes ahead of key milestones anniversaries in 2023, the 50 years of diplomatic relations and the 10th anniversary of the country's strategic partnership. During his visit, Mr. Phoc called on Singapore President Halimah Yacob and also met with Singapore Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong. Listener, now let's move on to Diplomatic Corner on Indonesian Consulate General in Chicago promotes Indonesian tourism through travel exhibitions.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Diplomatic Corner highlights Indonesian Consulate General in Chicago promotes Indonesian tourism through travel exhibition. The Consulate General of the Republic of Indonesia in Chicago exhibited the beauty of Indonesian tourism at a travel exhibition in the city in collaboration with three diaspora entrepreneurs in the United States. The Consulate General in Chicago, in a written statement received in Jakarta on Wednesday, stated that the people of the United States show a high desire to travel again based on a poll in 2022. It showed that 93.3% of respondents plan to travel within 1 year ahead. Following up on the trend, The Indonesian Consulate General in Chicago also participated in the 2022 Chicago and Travel Show Exhibition, which is one of the largest travel exhibition events in the United States, with no less than 20,000 visitors annually. The consulate also stated that at the event, the Indonesian booth was filled with two travel agents, namely Balidia and Voyage to Paradise, and Batik Shop, My Batik Shop. Indonesian booths were decorated with handmade decorations, particularly imported ones from Indonesia. The Indonesian Consul General in Chicago, Mary Binsar Simorangkir, explained that the event provides a good opportunity to promote Indonesia, particularly with the reopening of Bali and the Riau Islands for foreign tourists. According to the Indonesian Consulate General's report, the visitors who came to the Indonesian booth asked a lot of questions, particularly related to entry requirements to Indonesia, the type of visa needed, and the type of the hotel for quarantine. The visitors also choose various Indonesian souvenirs, such as silver jewelry, home decoration, coconut shells, and batik of various colors brought from Indonesia. Well, listener, that was Diplomatic Corner, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Niko Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. First news comes from Surabaya, East Java. The Department of Population and Civil Registrations of Surabaya City in East Java is ready to implement the use of electronic digital identity cards in stages in 2022. Mayor of Surabaya, Eri Cahyadi, said in Surabaya on Thursday that he supports the latest development in the form of digital ID card, which will be launched by the Director General of Population and Civil Registrations at the Ministry of Home Affairs. In addition, they will also disseminate the use of a digital ID card to various parties that have been requesting information on residents' identities for services such as banking, hotels, hospital, and provisions issued by the Ministry of Home Affairs. Next news comes from Padang, West Sumatra. The West Sumatra Natural Resources Conservation Agency released a protected animal, namely pangolin or Manis javanica, in the Singgalang Tandikat Nature Tourism Park Conservation Area. Head of West Sumatra Conservation Agency Ardi Andono, through a written statement received in Padang on Wednesday, said that the released pangolins was a handover from residents of Nagari Fort Koto, Agam Regency, which is a buffer zone for Singgalang Tandikat Nature Tourism Park. Last news comes from Malang, East Java. The East Java Province Cultural Heritage Preservation Center found the Agastya statue in the second stage of excavation at the Sri Gading site in Sri Gading Village, Lawang District, Malang Regency, East Java Province. According to the information broadcast by the Cultural Heritage Preservation Center, Agastya is a sage from India that spread the teachings of Hinduism to the south, including to Indonesia. The Agastya statue is depicted with a pot belly, mustache, beard, and two hands. An archaeologist from the Cultural Heritage Preservation Center of East Java Province, Wijaksono Dwi Nugroho, said in Malang Regency on Wednesday that the statue of Agastya discovered at Sri Gading site is made of andesite rock containing silica so that it looks shiny when viewed at more closely. Some parts of the statue, which is said to be from the 10th century AD, are thought to have been damaged when the temple building collapsed.
Listener, we begin today in history with the event of February 26, 1797, Bank of England issue bank notes. The Bank of England was established in 1694. The bank was formerly privately owned and operated by its founder until it was nationalized in 1946. In 1997, it became an independent public organization which is wholly owned by the government. It has full power in stipulating monetary policy. For the first time, the Bank of England issued the first £1 banknote on February 26, 1797. Turning to the event of 1993, tragedy of Van Boom. Today, 29 years ago, the New York City, United States was shocked by a bomb attack on the World Trade Center on 26 February 1993. The bomb was placed in a van parked under the North Tower. The bomb measuring 606 kilograms of urea nitrate hydrogen gas exploded, and it killed 6 people and injured thousands of other people. Ramzi Ahmed Yosef, the mastermind behind the bomb attack, was arrested 2 years later in Pakistan. He was sentenced to life in prison. We end today in history with the event of February 26, 2013, air balloon accident in Luxor. The air balloon accident in Luxor 2013 was the accidental fall of a hot air balloon in Luxor, Egypt on February 26, 2013 at 7 a.m. local time. The N425 Ultra Magic hot air balloon accident with registration number SU283 killed 19 people and injured 2 others. This is the deadliest hot air balloon accident in history that surpassed the Alice Springs hot air balloon accident in the Northern Territory of Australia in 1989. After the incident, the hot air balloon tours are now monitored by cameras and it is not allowed to fly above 2,000 meters. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen.Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhinderen Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Bodoh diri membiarkanmu pergi jauh dari hati.
Ku coba mengobati tuh punya kekasih lagi, namun ku sadar diri hatiku di kamu.
kita bisa, tak bisa hatiku berdosa.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Ministry of Trade clarified that the government of Indonesia does not support environmental policy that are carried out unilaterally by several partner countries, especially policies that have the potential to hinder trade and discriminate in nature. This was stated by Director of Bilateral Negotiations of the Director General of International Trade Negotiations at the Ministry of Trade, Johnny Marta, in an official statement issued last Tuesday. He remarked that the Indonesian government had submitted objections to countries in the European region on the policy plans to be implemented, especially the provision for due diligence for certain commodities. He was referring to the article entitled Due Diligence Rules Shows the Path Forward by British Member of Parliament Andrew Percy, which was published by Maze magazine on February 11, 2022. Indonesia has a strong commitment to being part of a solution to the problem of climate change. Indonesia also believes that the issue of climate change is a global issue, so that it must be done together through dialogue and coordination. Johnny Marta mentioned that, as stated by President of the Republic of Indonesia, Joko Widodo, at COP26 in Glasgow, Indonesia's efforts to focus on forest resources management is part of its commitment to fulfill international obligation. This is in line with the Paris Agreement and the UN Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs. Indonesia has continued to carry out various efforts to meet the nationally determined contribution commitment in the form of reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 29% or 41% with international support by 2038. According to Johnny Marta, unilateral policies have the potential to be inconsistent with the provisions of the World Trade Organization WTO because they discriminate and hinder trade. All countries should respect international agreements and commitments, such as the Paris Climate Agreements and SDGs, as well as the efforts of other countries to meet these commitments. The press statement said that sustainable development needs an approach that is tailored to the conditions and needs of each country. There is no one size that fits all approaches in realizing the sustainable development. Indonesia is open to dialogue with countries in the world to overcome climate change and protect the environment. Each country must develop environmental policies that are more inclusive and without restrictive and discriminatory policies.
Bawa dirimu masuk terlalu jauh ke dalam kisah cinta yang tak mungkin terjadi. Dan aku tak punya hati untuk menyakiti dirimu. Dan aku tak punya hati untuk mencintai dirimu yang selalu mencintai diriku. Walau kau tahu diriku masih bersamanya.
And it was Office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, Nailaka Island in the Banda Neira Islands is one of the fragments of many islands in the Banda Islands territory, Central Maluku, Indonesia. Nailaka Island is the island with the best beaches in the Banda Islands, Maluku. The beach on Nailaka Island has clean white sand with blue sea water. It seems the melodious wave sound spoils your holidays. Looking at the clear water makes visitors want to splash themselves into the sea. This place is also often haunted by divers to explore every view under the sea. The beauty of marine biodiversity makes divers more comfortable to dive there. But one thing that you must remember, please do not let you step on and damage the coral reefs in this area. One of the attractions of the island is that there is a sand road in the middle of the ocean. This road connects the island of Run to the island of Nailaka. The road appears when the water is receding. You don't have to worry about drowning because you can rent speedboats there. The island is also famous for its sunrise and sunset views that you must not miss. This beach looks more beautiful with this view. it will give a romantic feel for people who look at it. If you want to enjoy the sunrise and sunset, you can spend the night on this island. You can also pitch a tent here. This island is appropriate for anyone who wants to enjoy peace because the island is completely uninhabited. The best time to visit this island is between October and November because at that time, the weather is sunny and the waves are not too terrifying. Nailaka Island in the Banda Neira Islands is one of the many natural paradises in Indonesia, which is very appropriate as a recommendation for local and foreign tourists. The beauty, cleanliness, silence, and tranquility presented will bring happiness and peace of mind for tourists who visit Nailaka Island. Well, listener, keep listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Amid the increasingly incessant emergence of various kinds of electric vehicle or EV innovations, especially those of the motorcycle type, electric motorcycles produced locally by domestic innovators have re-emerged. It is Nusa Katulistiwa, an electric motorbike with a sturdy form presented by Nusa Motors based in the Kebon Jeruk area, West Jakarta. This electric motor offers a different appearance and speed from the local electric motors of its predecessors. Nusa was founded by two of its founders, namely Domex Mandei, who occupies the position of CEO, and Tommy Gunawan as Chief Innovation Officer. Domex Mandei believes Nusa Motor will become a new point for the automotive industry. Currently, it is seeking funding from venture capital companies for further development. Meanwhile, Tommy Gunawan, Chief Innovation Officer, said that the limitations make him more passionate to create. Maybe now it doesn't make it the fastest or cheapest, but his side is sure to be more enthusiastic to develop an innovative product that was previously impossible to be possible. Currently, Nusa Katulistiwa Motor is targeting the motorsport segment. Don't be surprised if you see it looks dashing like a big motorbike. This motorbike also comes in two versions, namely the basic variant, which has a maximum speed of 150 km per hour, and the two fast variant, which can be driven up to a speed of 200 km per hour. The engine embedded in the basic variant is supported by a 10 kWh lithium ion cell battery and is capable of completing a distance of up to 180 km on a single charge. Meanwhile, the two fast variant is equipped with a 14 kWh lithium ion cell battery, which makes it capable of driving up to 250 km on a single charge. The process of developing and completing the Nusa Katulistiwa motorbike took 2 years. In its cultivation, they fully employ domestic workers. Nusa Katulistiwa is claimed to be the fastest electric motorbike in the Southeast Asia region for now. Regarding the purchase process, electric motorcycle products targeting the premium market can be carried out starting in February 2022. Nusa Katulistiwa is expected to become a new point for the automotive industry that can go global. For the price of Nusa Katulistiwa, The basic variant is offered at 140 million rupiahs and Too Fast is priced at 180 million rupiahs. Manufacturers also offer full customization for body color, motorcycle seats, speed, battery, brakes, and wheels. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today. Thank you for listening.
Penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
マスクを着用して COVID-19 の感染拡大を防ぎましょう。私のマスクはあなたを守る。あなたのマスクは私を守ってくれる。
ワカウィンティカールバイルス COVID-19 ミンヒラリルティダイルアクニアビシャクリンサヒコナイヤハミコンワコナウコンヤハミミ
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today I'm going to present a keroncong song composed by Sapari and W.S. Nardi. This is entitled Irama Malam, sung by Mamik Marsudi. The song with the rhythm of the night describes the rhythm and singing. It is created when night falls. The silence of the night is a good time for the soul to reflect on life. Sorrow and joy always come and go in life. Listener, here is Mamik Marsudi with the keroncong song entitled Irama Malam. Enjoy the song.
Hati nan mar
Of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safitradala. See you on the next English program.